This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is already going bad.
Y'all, I've convinced my brother-in-law, Willie Powers, to come on my Midweek Mom and Dad. We've changed it, podcast, because we're in quarantine, y'all.
Corona.
So we have quarantined together. My sister has been married to Willie for how many years now?
I didn't know you were going to ask me trick questions. We have been married for 14 years.
So Willie is really...
14 years of bliss.
Willie's really like my brother because he has been with me through all of my adolescent phases where I was a hot mess, we could say.
Oh, yeah. We could definitely say that. Willie, we've been quarantining together for a long time.
Willie has taught me... What, did you drop your Diet Coke?
No. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. It's all fine. When I was in the midst of... I mean, what crises have you helped me navigate? You can be honest. I'm very real on this podcast.
Well, we rescued you from Spain.
Oh, God.
You
it started
were
back in
studying
Spain.
Studying abroad. You hated my guts.
Oh, I hated you.
You hated
Tell
me.
Everyone how I hated you. I was such a little brat.
Well, it wasn't your fault. I mean, your sister and I were...
forget that I was such a brat. Oh, my gosh.
Young puppy love. We were calling each other nicknames, and you just had
oh, y'all were
squinty,
like,
mad eye. I know you're
you
squinty,
and Will,
mad
You and Catherine
so well.
Were like, hey, number one. Hey, number one. There's my number one.
Everyone was sick of it.
Y'all were so goo-goo, gaga, sorry. In love. I was like...
Look at her. She's hot.
I was anti-love at that point, too. I'd never been in love, and I thought love was stupid. And now, all of a sudden, I think you were taking all of my attention from Catherine, because she used to dote on me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now she could have given 2 cents about me.
She is the ultimate caretaker. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you had the blessing of that, and sorry if I...
She, like, ruled my life. She made my college schedules for me. She cooked me every dinner.
Yes.
I would take... When I went to Baylor for a year, I would take my laundry over there. She would do all my laundry, have
She's
it folded.
She's the bomb.
I came up... Now that we're quarantined together again, we shared laundry. We did mm-hmm. all of our laundry in one. She had everything folded up perfectly like it was on a display at Buckle.
Dude. I mean, she does it all day long. I don't know how she keeps up with it all, but... Anyway, yes, I'm sure I stole a little bit of that from you back then.
I think I was just jealous because y'all were cute.
We were pretty cute. Anyway, that was fun. We went and picked you up from...
Spain.
Compostela. What was his name? San Jose de Compostela.
No, Santiago de Compostela.
And you had been eating potato... What are those things called?
Oh,
these little sandwiches.
It's called...
So here's the thing. In Spain...
Potato sandwich.
They have potato española or something
Oh,
that like
was
that.
It. It was my favorite.
They sell cookies everywhere you go with fiber in them because the food is so constipating in that country that you have to eat these fiber cookies just to process it all. But That was fun. We went and ran with the bulls. And
you ran with the bulls.
Well,
God,
ran from the bulls.
I wish I would have had more consciousness at this time in my life. I was so insane in my head. I didn't know how to think straight. I didn't even know what I was trying to think about. So I don't. Everything's a big giant blur to
me. Are you suggesting something's changed about that?
I feel like I have much more focus now. Back then, I probably was focused on, like, I was boy crazy. Oh, my God. I was so boy crazy. You have been through a lot of my boy craziness.
Oh, man. So many boys. All the boys.
Willie's, like, a good judge of character. I would start trying to kind of date someone, especially when I was living in Austin, and he'd be like, Yeah.
But, you know, then you met a man.
But you knew Michael first part-time, the first halftime show and second halftime show. You've known us the whole time.
I did. And he made a lot of sense to me the first time around and made a lot of sense to me the second time around. I think it's so great that you guys have ended up together. And most notably because Sunny is so cute.
She's really the reason.
Yeah, it's true.
Back to running with the bulls. What was that experience like?
It was really crazy. You know, the year that we did that, so a lot of new laws went into effect. Your dad, this is kind of a cutbirth family thing. Before we went, your parents had planned the trip. We were all going to go, but your parents had been on a bunch of trips, and I think they'd had some of your dad's dentistry courses back to back, and they were blown out of traveling, and they elected to let us go. We were not married at this time.
Yeah, you and Catherine were not married.
Yeah, no, we were.
And I was like 20.
I wonder what year that was.
Y'all got married when Catherine was 25.
In 06.
So y'all were probably 24?
Yeah, we might have not even been engaged at that time.
No, y'all were just young love kids floating around the world
super
together.
Annoying. All the annoying. You were not
wrong.
Oh,
and it was me, the angry, grumpy sister, and two people madly in love sharing a hotel room in Spain, traveling around together. Oh, I could have just thrown up.
Well,
I was such a brat.
I think I probably did throw up after drinking. They sell that Rioja. It was like Dr. Pepper and red wine mixed together. Sick. I mean, oh my gosh. But anyway, we had read your dad had read this book. We're sitting around reading this book about how to run with the bulls. He Googles a guy's name and calls 411, which probably none of your listeners even know what that is. But you can dial 411 on a phone and you could say, I need the phone number for XYZ person in XYZ city. We call the guy at his house and I'm getting instruction. You know, we just kind of rolled into
mouth.
This. I don't know how to do this. We haven't talked about the safe word. What's the safe word?
The safe word. What should it be?
Well, I use a really offensive ones usually. I mean, we can go with mistletoe this time.
Okay, we'll go with mistletoe.
All right. I don't even, you know.
Safe word. Willie's like, he's like, listen, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Well, it's fine so far.
Okay, we got mistletoe if we need it.
So anyway, he calls the guy. He tells us how to do it. But when we get there, they have changed the rules. Now you had to enter the street at one side and run all the way down to the Coliseum. And if you got to the Coliseum before the bulls, the locals would pelt you with rotten tomatoes for being a coward. And
oh, because you need to hang with the bulls.
That's
like the
right.
Men.
That's right. The wussies are the ones who got to the Coliseum first, and they would just rock you with rotten fruit. So, but I didn't care. I ran as fast as I have ever run in my life as soon as they let these bulls on the street.
Because the bulls buck people. They like actually.
They kill people.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not safe.
No, this is totally not
and
safe.
And you're locked into the street. It's not like you can take a left if you get nervous. They have these huge barriers keeping you on the street, and there are people above yelling at you.
This is a really insane thing people
do. The streets are slippery, it's wet and soggy, and everybody's drunk. It's just, it's a lot of fun.
And leading up to this, Catherine, Willie and I, you wear these white outfits. So you have like white pants and white shirt and a red sash that you tie around your waist.
That's right.
Everyone in the entire city, what's the city called?
Mistletoe.
So you're wearing these red sashes around this white Pamplona white outfits, and everyone's drinking sangria, and they're like, there's like people just holding pitchers of sangria. You'll walk by and they'll just pour it in your mouth. Like, yes. It was just wild in the streets. We were in this wild party.
We would have all had coronavirus.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And then you wake up, you just drink all the time. Everyone's hanging out. And then the running of the bulls happened. So everyone's drunk, which is totally extra unsafe.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, I got to the, I ran down that street, got to the Coliseum.
We were so happy to see you.
I turned around because I wasn't going to run through that tunnel until there was bulls. And so I just waited and waited and waited until the first bull came around the corner and I started running. And so he and I entered the stadium simultaneously, knocked me over onto the ground.
The bull knocked you over?
Well, it's hard to explain, but it's just a mass of human beings. There were 40 or 50 people at that same time with the bull. And so, I don't know. Anyway, it was really fun. And it was a great baptism into being a member of your family. Because
oh, tell me why.
Since then, I've done about 76 other insane things that I never thought I would do. I mean, we have hiked the, we've hiked all over the place. I mean, my family does not get together wearing matching puffy jackets and matching hiking shoes and trudge over mountains, but your family does. And so
we did Milford Trek, which was in New Zealand.
We did the Milford Trek in New Zealand. That was beautiful.
That was.
We were Catherine and I were talking about that yesterday, going to do that again at some point with Genevieve, maybe.
And that's where we hiked 16. Like 7 or 8 miles a day.
Yep. 35 miles total, but it was really nice. Mm-hmm. Like the lawn men flew helicopters up and down the trail, keeping up with it. And you didn't have to pack water. You just had to pack a cup and you could scoop it out of the rivers. That was so cool.
And then we did the Inca Trail.
That was a whole different story.
Tell me about that one, Willie.
Well,
this is in Peru.
The Inca Trail was did not have helicopter clad people. They were like, it was, the rivers are dirty. The water is dangerous. The food is treacherous. And I think day three of that hike, I came down with the most awful stomach disorder that a human being can get.
In the middle of nowhere. Cannot get out. We are 3 days in, so we're probably almost 30 miles in to the middle of nowhere.
We're halfway to Machu Picchu and halfway back home. There's no getting out.
And there's nowhere to go to the bathroom. And you have to keep going.
You got to walk the rest of the way. I was doing everything you can do when you have one of these stomach disorders. And to top it all off, the first night it hit me, and I'm not going to go into any too many details, maybe a couple of details, but I'm in a tent on a mountainside and I go, oh my goodness, I've got a problem. I ran out of the tent to go to the bathroom. I get there. There's four of these, the porters that came along with us who'd carried all the food and things like that. And they have this, in the restroom, they have, it's just basically a room and there's a hole in the middle of the room. And on either side of the hole, they have it's Saltillo tile floors, but the two holes next to the, or the two tiles next to the hole have footprints in them to show you exactly where you're supposed to stand. Oh my gosh. Anyway, it's just a hole in the ground to go to the bathroom. And
did you spend some time in there?
Well, there was five guys in front of me, and I had to wait for them. It wasn't good. It was not good. I mean, I was throwing up. We had to go get some medicine from our guide in the middle of the night, and the next 3 days were really rough.
That's your dad the worst came along. Time, you know, like, to get that.
I think we were engaged at this point. We weren't married, I don't think. Your dad came up to me, and I was still like, he's Dr. Cutbirth. You know, I've got a lot of respect for him. He is, all my friends warned me when I started dating your sister, he is going to climb up a tree
and snipe for you,
shoot you in the middle of the night. He's dangerous. Watch out for this guy. And he came up to me and he put his hand on my shoulder as I'm crouched, throwing up over the side of this mountain, freezing cold, wet, sick. You know, this is my 100th mile to hike with your family. And he said, are you all right? And I said, get your effing hand off of me. And he said, understood. And he kept walking. He just knew I needed some peace and quiet to just be there on the side of the hill. But
you really cleared the way for Michael. He has had it so much easier. Like, I feel like you really had to like break the ice of like coming into our family. And then Michael's just gotten to float right in.
He owes me big time.
He totally does.
I really took a lot of the took a lot of that.
You're a good sport, Willie.
Yeah, and here I am. We still together, quarantining.
So 14 years you've been married to Catherine.
Yep.
You've been through the many phases of my insanity. Wouldn't you say I've kind of started leveling up?
You're though? Awesome. You're not insane. You're not. You are spirited.
Thank
and
you.
And I think you've described yourself as somebody who has different versions of yourself, you know, when it comes to emotions and perception. You know, some days you wake up and you're rocking and rolling. Some days it's, you know, you're looking at it a different way. But you have always been kind. You have always been sweet.
Except
in
the beginning.
You've always been funny.
Once I got over
my... Yeah, but even then, you know, that was explainable. It was understandable. I'm dating your older sister.
And
of course that's annoying. Yeah,
still.
Well...
It's okay, I was.
I didn't take it that way. I just was... I laughed it off. I thought it was... You know, it was a completely acceptable response to what you were dealing with. So.
Well, and I used to be a lot more like angry and upset too, because I was so just lost and trying to navigate and find footing, as you do. Everyone does it in different ways. I was a little more like angsty.
Isn't it surprising that you, when you're a kid, you think, I can't wait to be an adult so I'll have everything figured out. And then, no,
nope.
Nothing's figured out. It's all the same. You know, you still have to wake up and work through... You know, everything, work through challenges.
What have you learned about life? Because I feel like you're someone who I always think is really wise. Like every time Michael and I are stressed or like Michael's going through something, he's like, I just got to call Willie. I'm just going to call Willie and get his opinion on this because he's got such a great opinion. And I feel that way about you. I feel like you always are able to have a good, clear, well-rounded opinion.
Well, that's really sweet of you to say that. But I am human just like everybody else. You know, I have to think through things and find a way to... I can't take a lot of credit for that. I think I was born naturally wanting to be happy. I wake up every day trying to find a way to be happy. And I'm about 50% logical. And so I can use logic to get there and leisure to get there.
Okay.
So I, you know, the logic side of me spends a lot of time wondering about the math it's going to take to where I don't wake up in a panic, you know, like during this coronavirus thing, you know, how do you keep your house in order so that when I'm in the oil and gas business and it is very mercurial. I mean, we've had years where we've made lots and lots of money. We have had years where we made zero money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the logic side of me says the 0 years are coming again in the lots and lots of years, put it away and be ready for that. You know, I think there, I mean, your question was, what have I learned about life?
Mm-hmm.
Life is just going to be up and down and over. I mean, you just got to be ready for the ups. Have fun when it's up. Rein it in when it's down, like this week. We ain't ordering everything off Amazon this week. You know, we're not, we did eat at the nicest, takeaway from the nicest sushi place.
We had to take advantage of the fact that they're offering takeaway. When does that happen?
I pulled in there with a trailer and a lawnmower on the back of it.
Side by side.
I'm probably not their standard customer, but anyway. Yeah, I think you just... If you are finding yourself unhappy, for me, it's usually because I'm not doing something engaging or I don't feel good. And so I would say when you're in that state of mind, go for a walk. You don't have to lose 20 pounds today. Just go for a walk. Get your blood moving.
Yeah.
If you ate a bunch of cookies yesterday, before you eat all the cookies today, we're having to do this in quarantine, by the way. We have so much good food here.
I ate Doritos and a Dr. Pepper for breakfast
your
every
mom,
morning.
Sharon is the world's most wonderful supplier and caretaker and quartermaster. This house has probably 17,000 rounds of ammunition and a bunch of food. By the way, if you think about coming here to get any of that, you won't make it through the front gate. We're very good with our rifles.
Yeah, y'all have been hog hunting every night. Last night, Michael and I go outside to sit on the front porch, and Willie's out there on the side-by-side, which is full of inner tubes because they're floating down the river, like sighting in a hog, like barefoot.
Well, you know,
it's great.
When
I
they
love
run
it.
Past, that's when you got to shoot them.
I know.
So, but no, we. I think that, you know, I have had to make a conscious decision to eat some carrots before I eat some Twix, and that's because I want to feel good. You know, and so when you're feeling good, you can think good. When you think good, you can feel emotionally good. And so I don't know. That's I just try to stay feeling good and do things that don't get me in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and that's... I just don't want to be in trouble. Don't want to be in trouble.
Where does that stem from, not wanting to be in trouble?
I was born that way. I hated being in trouble. When I was a kid, like, you know, they would write your name on the chalkboard when you're in trouble. Oh, man, just seeing my name on the board, if that ever happened, and it was never my fault, Mom. the other kids were talking to me, but... yeah, I just never, ever wanted to be in trouble. I don't like that. And it's probably, you know, the deeper side of that is an ego thing or, you know, you just want to be looking like you're doing a good job. And it's, do we talk about the Enneagram?
Yeah.
I'm
oh,
a number
of course.
Seven.
Yeah, you're seven.
I've never read the book. I've just been diagnosed as this by you and your sister.
Well, no, we made you take a test.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Out here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, my pursuit is leisure, right? I'm always looking for a good time. And being in trouble is an interruption of that.
Yeah.
And so, I don't want to live in the doldrums. I don't want your sister to be mad at me. I don't want my parents to be mad at me. I don't want my teachers to be mad at me. And
you just want to stay lighthearted.
Yes. And you can't do that if you're doing stupid stuff.
That's very true. So, you've kind of always just gravitated in that direction.
Selfishly to keep the party going. I want everybody to be having fun.
You know, and Michael's a seven too, and I feel like y'all, he'll get a little, he doesn't care if people are mad at him a little bit less than you. Did I say that right? I mean, he's a little more fine with, he's a Taurus too, so he's a little more bullish sometimes.
Oh, wait a minute. We're going to do that.
But no, but y'all get
along.
Is
that real?
Oh yeah, what is your sign?
Cancer. You and me.
You're a crab. No, I'm a
Oh, you're
Leo.
On the end
I'm a
of
lion.
July. Oh yeah, that's for sure.
Yes.
Tiger King, the Lion King. Is everybody watching Tiger King? Oh my gosh.
Oh man, it is something else. Thank God for Tiger King.
It really has saved the world.
I know.
We've all got something to talk about.
Uh-huh. That we all can laugh about and relate to.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RiteRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Rite Rug Flooring.
So tell me about your childhood. How did you get shaped by your childhood? Because there's a bunch of y'all, and y'all grew up on a farm. And you did crazy things with, like, knives and things. Y'all were, like, always playing with dangerous tools.
I mean, I have lived a charmed life. I mean, as a kid, I had parents. I think this weighs into everything, you know.
Because it shapes who you are. Eventually, he's going to give some parenting advice to all the dads out there.
Oh, okay.
Later on. We'll get to that.
I'm almost 40. I'm not quite old enough to give advice. Your dad said 50 was the year you could start. When you're 50, you can give advice. Okay. But then he turned 60, and he said you had to be 60 to give advice.
So basically, however old he is.
It's a rolling number. I had a wonderful childhood. I have five great brothers and sisters who, there was the older crop of four, then there were 9 years, then I came along, and then my parents had Tim, the play friend for me. So Tim and I kind of had our own thing going in childhood. That age gap obviously is gone away at this point. We're all in the stride of life and working together on things, but you said I grew up on a farm. Really, we have a family ranch.
It's a ranch.
The difference in Texas between a farm and a ranch is a farm is where you grow crops.
Oh.
And a ranch is where you raise animals.
Okay.
Now there may be people who refute my definition on that, but we have a farm and a ranch, but I was shaped by our time spent out there. We actually lived in the city, in Corpus Christi proper, in a neighborhood, and we lived right across the street, directly across the street from my grandparents, and down the street from my aunt and uncle. And so we were surrounded by family. We were very family-oriented. Coronavirus is going to cancel our family Easter party this year, which is a great sadness, because it's when we all get together. My grandmother's sister's families, there are hundreds of us now. Mm-hmm. We're Catholic, so we have lots of babies.
yep.
And yeah, we just, we lived right across from Corpus Christi Bay, so we would get up on Saturday morning and walk over there and go fishing for a few hours and go to the ranch. And My parents were just perfect parents and continue to be perfect parents.
And your mom is so witty and funny.
She's awesome.
And your dad's just so chill and sweet.
Yes. He's Papa Bear. Mm-hmm. You know, that nobody's going hungry as long as he's alive. He takes, you know, I've always had that in the background. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. He would come and save me. My mom would come and save me. You know, I think that would be my parenting advice, is if you can create a scenario like I had where your kids know you're devoted to them at all costs, it really does create a sense of foundation that I've always had under my feet. And I felt it back then. It was so fun. I loved my childhood. I would go back to it. It just, we had a ball. We were always making things, tinkering with things, exploring.
What's a favorite memory?
Just
the first one that comes to mind. It doesn't have to be the favorite, the first one that comes to mind.
I'm trying to think of a memory.
Or you can spice a few together.
I mean, my very favorite thing to do was to go to the ranch. We had a house there and a little swimming pool. And there was this bridge. I'll tell you, this is a good one.
Okay.
So you could walk to this bridge and we would go fishing and catch, it was fresh water and salt water, so you could catch alligator, gars, and redfish all in the same place, which was super cool. My little brother and I were fishing. I don't know how old I was, maybe 7, he was 4. and I got my hook stuck in the tree, and I was yanking it, trying to get it out of the tree. And it came flying back at me and stuck in my thumb.
Oh,
deep,
no.
Deep in my thumb. And I cried. I said, go get help. You know, we were out there with my dad by himself. And my, this will show some good parenting too. So Tim sprints back to the house, gets my dad. My dad comes driving down and takes and cuts the string, takes me back to the house and sits me down on the back porch. And he says, "All right, we've got two options here. I can pull this hook out and we can stay here at the ranch for the rest of the weekend. Or I can take you into the hospital and they can wash it with some alcohol and cut it open and pull it out the right way." I said, let's stay here. Let's stay here. Of course, I don't want to interrupt my weekend, and B,
seven.
Exactly. Yeah. B, I don't want to be cut open. And, you know, he stitched in that it was not going to be cool if we went into the hospital.
Yeah.
He goes over to this pine tree in the yard, snaps off a limb, brings it over to me, gets a rusty pair of pliers. My dad never had good tools. He always had just whatever was left over. He gives me the stick and he says, "Bite down on this stick."
No.
And he grabs my hand,
oh,
grabs the hook with the pliers and pulls, and it doesn't come out.
Stop.
And I snap the stick in half. And I just had, I mean, my eyes were just red and watery, and I'm trying not to cry. And he looked in my eyes and he said, "I'm sorry. I promise I'm going to get it next time."
Please tell me he does get it this time.
And he, I mean, put all his, my dad is this mighty guy, 6'3", huge, just like that unintentional muscle, you know, and he just jerked it out of there and it came free. Oh. I still have a scar on the thumb.
So did it rip your finger? Did he cut the
hook?
It
made a crunching sound when it came out. No, that wasn't an option because it was a treble hook, which all the real fishermen are, it's got three hooks on it. All the real fishermen are going, "What a chump." But anyway, wow, that was not comfortable, but got the weekend kept going and so we had fun. Yeah,
here you sit to this day.
And I got a story, and a lot of our lives was like that. Just,
what was the one with the parachute and Tim?
Oh man, well, my brother Edmund had bought a parachute
because that's what you do.
Yeah, at a yard sale. Oh, here's a parachute. We can think of something fun to do with that. And so down on the Gulf Coast where the ranch is, it's windy all the time. And this was a particularly windy day. We find this thing in the back of my brother's truck. We were probably teenagers at this point. And all we had for a rope was a lasso. And so we got a piece of corrugated steel, basically a giant knife. And we were going to sit on this thing like a sled and let the parachute pull us down the road. Well, we just put the lasso part around my brother's stomach, like a loop, a noose.
And, perfect.
And I said, "All right, great." He was always the guinea pig. Tim, if you're
the
listening, I'm so
one.
Sorry.
I know, poor
you
Tim. Know,
I owe you whatever you need. Just I'll give it to you. But anyway, we go. He sits on this tin. He's got the loop around his stomach, around his waist. And I stretch the string out, grab the parachute, and I flap it up into the wind. And it instantly goes and fills with air and sucks that, cinches
so
the rope down on his stomach.
Suffocated.
He looks like a cartoon character with his eyes bulging out of his face because he's now being cut in half by this rope, and it goes and it's dragging him across this field. And I'm running behind him, you know, probably barefooted through these thorns. We have these terrible thorns called mesquite. He's getting killed by all these thorns, and finally, I catch up to him and I grab him, but all I'm doing is putting force in the other direction.
So it's
the
even
rope
tighter.
Turning. So I had to run finally and run all the way and tackle the parachute. And we looked at each other like, "Well, we did it again. Survived another potential injury." So.
Oh my gosh. Your mom is a saint for having all those kids.
I don't know
how
she's still kicking.
Because she's so. Your mom has got such a spunky personality. I love your mom. She's a blast.
She has been the perfect mom. We talk at least once a week. and really more than that, 3 or 4 times a week. And we just have very similar, you know, brains. We just y'all think alike.
And y'all both enjoy humor a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all are good at making...
She's a little naughty, little edgy.
A little naughty.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all are good at making situations... find the humor in them even when things are sad. Like you'll be sad and you'll feel feelings, but yet you can always bounce out of it with some humor. And your mom does that really well too.
Definitely. It's a great way to just get through things. You know, if you can't laugh at yourself, we are all gonna die. Mm-hmm. That is a guarantee. And if you can stitch that belief into your life, you can laugh off these things that happen, because things are going to happen. I remember my grandmother, we had something happened in the family, and my mom went to tell her. She was 91 years old, and you know, she had to share some bad news with Granny. And she said, "Mom, I am so sorry. I have to tell you this." And she said, "I'm the perfect person to tell. I'm 91 years old. I've seen it all. I know these things happen." Mm-hmm. And that was a great perspective. And I think she, you know, my grandmother was very stoic. She never got worked up about anything. Stoic to the point of like almost emotionless. And and we've kind of rebounded in the other direction in our generation. So, but she was a wonderful, you know, kind of give you that perspective. Like, you can tell a joke about this because tomorrow's coming and yesterday's over, and let's keep on going.
Yeah. So what has your perspective been now that you're a husband, you're a father of a 9-year-old, you're almost 40? What is your kind of life perspective? Like, how have you navigated these chapters?
Well, I love being a husband.
What do you love about it?
We are yin and yang, as you know, your sister and I. She is type A, you know, very ducks in a row, very organized. I am, half the time she tells me something, she has to tell it to me again because my brain was thinking and I didn't even hear what she said. You know, like, I am just distracted and I'm always thinking of new ideas, creating, and she's always organizing. So we have been a perfect match because she would own this. She does not have a lot of novel ideas. She's not a creative person by nature. She is a good organizer, but she's not making new things.
She loves to organize things and get them like in perfect condition.
Right. And so
which sounds terrible to someone who's always creating things.
Yeah, I don't care.
But it's great. You need that person.
I am a tornado. I mean, I leave a pile of debris behind me everywhere I go. And, but I'm also self-aware. And I try not to be, you know, problematic about it all. And she is also very self-aware too. So we've been able to blend that. You know, we started a business together and I can kind of see the future and she can take care of the present.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good team. That's great.
She has been. So really, marriage is just great. I mean, I married, obviously, really, really well. And definitely married above what I should have been able to expect. And so I love marriage. And then fatherhood is just incredible. We have a 9-year-old daughter, Genevieve, who is, we call her the great enthusiast. Everything she does with gusto.
Mm-hmm.
And she has been the perfect child, a real blessing. And so I have no complaints. It couldn't have worked out better for me at this point. And so I love it. And I feel your sister makes me feel the way my dad and my mom make me feel, you know, just very sturdy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that when you are a man, when you're working, when you're trying to do a good job in the world, do a good job for your family, kill stuff and drag it back to the cave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have fear. You worry about not doing it that well. And anytime I feel that fear, I think about the reality of my life, which is if we went broke, your sister and Genevieve would help me start a taco stand, and mm-hmm. you know, they don't care. Mm-hmm. They love me. And so
that feels good to be loved, doesn't it?
It does. If you're listening, do that for your significant other. Let them know that no matter what happens, that you'll be right there. That's the greatest thing in the world, is to know that you'll always have companionship. No one's going to abandon you. Mm-hmm. You know, your parents have done a good job making that a mantra of their lives. Your dad has always said, "Sharon, you can leave me, but I'm coming with you."
He always says that.
Yeah, you know, he says,
try to divorce me, I'm going to pitch a tent in the front yard. I'm never leaving.
Well, and what he's saying is, I need to know that you're not going anywhere. And I know that, and it's just great. So, marriage to Catherine has been a continuation of that foundational feeling I've always had. It's fun, and we have a lot of fun together. I mean,
y'all got an RV. Y'all are RVing across America. I mean,
we travel. We go all over the place.
Y'all travel with your rabbit, your hamster, and your dog.
So one of the things that your sister's type A personality cannot stand is a blank calendar. So if she sees a box on her calendar that doesn't have something to do in it, she fills our dance card pretty good. She mm-hmm. keeps me going, which is good, because I would be a homebody without her, and I never would have seen the things that we've seen or done the things we've done. And so, yeah, we bought an RV. I mentioned it as a joke to use it as a ranch house. And we bought it, put it at the ranch to have a place to sleep out there. And finally she said, you know, this thing has wheels on it. Should we go pull it around? And so, yeah, we've been doing that the last few years.
Y'all are like looking up RV parks all over America. Like, ooh, this will be where we will RV this year.
Yes.
I love it.
And now I want to buy an RV park or build one.
I've got
that in my mind to do.
You know, Michael's aunt owns an RV park right outside of Charleston. It's called Tacha. Tacha.
Think she'd sell it?
It is truly heaven. Like, I had never been to an RV park, and we went and stayed out there with an RV. Man, there's a little store. Everyone's so nice. It's so fun. Like, some people live there full time. Other people just visit. RV parks are where it's at.
It's the soft underbelly of the United States that, you know, you drive past these things your whole life going, you know, RV park, right? You pull in there, and it's this whole little microcosm of life. And
people are awesome.
We love it. We love it. So that's been fun. We go all over the place. We go to the Bahamas together every year a couple of times. It's fun.
Tell me, when Michael and I were first parents, we sat out by the fire actually here at Hog Creek. I think it was over Christmas, drinking some wine. Me having full-blown anxiety attacks, and Michael being calm, and you giving us parenting advice. And you gave us some really good parenting advice, and I would like you to share that with us here.
Do you remember it? Because
yes.
I don't.
One time you said, always smile.
That's definitely.
Tell me about that.
Well, when you have a baby, if it sees you smile every time you see it, it's going to smile back. Mm-hmm. If you're frowning at it, every time you frown, it's going to be one of those frowny kids. And I wanted a smiley kid, again, going back to desiring everything to be happy and being a party. And so if you smile at your baby every time you see it, it will smile back at you. And if you surround yourself with smiley people, you're going to be smiley. So better start with your kids.
True that.
And so, yeah, just we did that as we were intentional about that, although that wasn't hard, because if you can't look at a baby and smile, you know,
yeah,
they wear you out. It is mind boggling.
Genevieve didn't sleep for a year.
Yes. She was not a good sleeper. And when you don't get enough sleep, here's another piece of advice. If you're not sleeping, you're not thinking right. Mm-hmm. If you are worried all the time, man, you need some sleep. Mm-hmm. Because I started thinking the sky was going to fall. You know, I was standing over her worrying about things in my business, worrying, you know, I just had these irrational fears.
But I think that's really normal. I had like panic attacks. I've always been kind of anxious, but like they went to a new level in pregnancy and having a baby.
Well, now, because you got somebody who's responsible for you. The scariest day of my life was the day that I found out Catherine was pregnant with Genevieve. We had come home from a weekend at the ranch, and I heard her scream in the bathroom. I went in there with my flip-flop over my head because I thought there was a scorpion or something. I was going to go kill it, and she was holding a pregnancy test. I fell back on the bed, and the ceiling was spinning because I realized in that moment I had done everything I could do to control the outcome of the situation. I can't pick the gender, can't pick what kind of kid you're going to get. You can't make it healthy. You can't give it 10 toes. You've lost control. And being out of control is an uncomfortable feeling. And kids take over a huge part of your life because they want to be fed like almost every day.
And all the time.
I had this crazy thought that when we had a baby, I was going to hold it with one hand and do the rest of my life with the other hand. That's false. That is stupid. They need 100% of your attention. And so,
it's just so heavy. But it's so amazing. I get now why everybody says it's the greatest thing you'll ever do, but it's also like the hardest and scariest thing. It's totally all those things.
It is. And as your kids get older, it finally starts to get back to you. You know, I can remember the first time I woke up and Genevieve was on the couch eating a waffle that she had toasted for herself. And I thought, oh my gosh, there is a light at the end of the tunnel and it's not an oncoming train. We are going to get out of this. You know, she eventually will take care of herself, and boy, has she. But kids make you better.
Yeah.
They make you a better version of yourself because, you know, if you just try to live a life of, you just can't be selfish when you're keeping another human being alive. I mean, when do you have the opportunity to stand over a crib looking at something's little chest going up and down, realizing you're 100% responsible for keeping that life going? It's scary.
Yeah.
And it forms you into a better version of yourself after time. I love it. I love being a dad. It's really cool.
You're a really great dad. You and Kat are really good parents. We've learned a lot from y'all. Y'all are really good at letting Genevieve figure things out on her own. And like you let her lead with her curiosity a lot. And y'all don't ever like yell at her or get frustrated with her. You always are good at explaining the situation. Like, it's making her a really great thinker.
When it comes to like the safety aspect or letting her do things, we didn't really have any control over that. We took her to visit my parents when she was very young and came back in the room, and my mom had her cutting paper with scissors, like sharp Fiskars scissors. And it was a test, I think. Mom, was it a test? It was a test to see if Catherine would let my mom, you know, my mom, that's how we ran our childhood. There weren't a lot of rules, you know. With six kids, you don't have time to administer all those rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't police six kids. You just have to trust them and let them get hurt and all those kind of things. And so anyway, it started early, and I was the same way, same philosophy, like, let her run down the driveway. She's going to smash her face. You know, it's not going to be the end of the world. And she did smash her face. She does have a toenail that's messed up because it got smashed under a skateboard that I was sitting on. And I mean, talk about responsibility. I mean, just those things happen. But you just got to, you know, scars are not the end of the world. Getting hurt is good for you. Any kind of experience that lets you know you're going to make it is great. I remember when we walked to the Milford Track in New Zealand, I had never done anything like that. Your family's good about, you know, these adventure
vacations. Dad wants us to like be dropped off on the side of a mountain and survive for the rest of our
lives. He threw your little butts off a roof when you were a kid and taught you how to
hit and roll.
He read a newspaper article about these kids who had perished in a fire because they were too afraid
to jump
off of a roof of a burning house.
So we practiced.
That was not going to happen to his kids. So he took a ladder out, made you climb up on the roof, jump off, and hit and roll.
And that's one thing about Dad I will always give him credit for. He always was, he's let us have total freedom and like pursue whatever was our heart's desire. But he was like, we are going to know how to survive and we are going to know how to think for ourselves.
Well, you know, there are two parenting styles. One, you can work really hard to protect your children from everything that might happen to them. Or you can give them the tools to deal with the things that are going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are going to get hurt. Trying to protect them from every injury isn't realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It burdens you unfairly as a parent, and it runs the risk of leaving them ill-prepared
for when something does happen.
Yeah, for dealing with hardship as they grow up. So it's your kind of opportunity to let them crash and burn a little bit, but it is scary. I mean, Genevieve broke her arm last year, scared the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, you don't want your children to get hurt, especially an injury that, you know, that we see people having to deal with. You know, there are injuries that you can't recover from.
And they can happen to anyone.
Yeah, there's no protecting yourself. You just have to.
And that's the part that I struggled with so much for a long time of having, like, terrible anxiety with, that it can happen to anyone. It happens to the best people. It's like, that's the part of being a parent. But how did your faith come into play with that?
Well, of course. Of course. I mean, that is the foundation of my life, a belief in God and a belief that, you know, kind of my grandmother's philosophy, like, look, you live enough life, you're going to see some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to lose people who are important to you. You are going to lose things that are important to you, abilities that are important to you, you know, and so definitely, I mean, you've got to have faith, and that faith is a really challenging thing, because if you're mildly intelligent, it's hard to believe in something you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Period. If you know science, if you know the way the world turns, believing in God is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have a capacity for mystery to get there. I am tempted all the time by my own knowledge base to say it's not possible. We're just a little twitching bag of chemicals. And the reason I believe in God is that the ancestors who believed in this stuff also formed themselves into little groups, and they were successful, they lived, and now I'm still here. You mm-hmm. know, you can get real smart and talk yourself out of belief.
Yeah, totally.
But I, 99% of the time, am a firm believer in a God who loves me.
What has that felt like in your life? I always like to talk to people about feeling God, actually, like, personally, because we all have different experiences. And I think whenever you actually do feel God for yourself is when it makes it easier to believe in God. At least for me, that was how it went.
Well, you know, like I said, I've lived a wonderful life, and I've always felt hashtag blessed, you know, like but that's not real.
It's your perception, because you've had hard things happen to you.
Yeah. I choose happiness. So we talked about that. But I think, you know, God doesn't promise you sunshine and rainbows. That's not the promise of God. The promise is that he loves you and he'll take care of you in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the very best thing that has happened for my walk with faith is becoming a father, because you hear about God the Father. He is our Father, right? In the Christian Bible. And I never really focused on that side of God. He was more like God the Ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And or God the Creator. Once you become a father or a parent, a mother, you understand what that means to be to be a parent, you know, like your child is safe. They can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. They can, the story of the prodigal son, I was revisiting that last week. And, you know, you're always wanted. You're always welcome back home. Like, come on home. And I think that that is the joy of God. Like, that no matter what's going on in my life, he wants me. He mm-hmm. wants me. I am desired by him. And that's what a great thing, mm-hmm. you know, what a cool concept that there's this, you know, huge being that wants me. I mean, that's cool.
And that everything that's happening is for your greatest good, ultimately, even if it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, if you believe in heaven, if you believe in the Bible, the world is not where we're headed. This is a place for us to be challenged. This is a place for us to choose. And so he's not promising, you're not going to get
promise an easy experience.
There's no faith, no healthy faith, no healthy religion in this world that says if you do everything, your life's going to be perfect. That's not his promise.
And no life, if you look at any life out there, no life is perfect. And there's been stuff happening in the world for as long as it's been around.
That's it. Yeah, there's famine. I mean, look what's happening right now. You cannot control these things. And we choose to believe in a God who allows these things to happen. We can't understand why. You know, you don't know why children are allowed to get cancer. You don't know why young people are allowed to die. That goes back to the capacity for mystery. You know, you have to be open to understanding that he loves you. And all of this is part of it, you know. I love feeling sturdy in my faith. I love feeling loved and protected and knowing that there is this great thing waiting for me if he lets me in. Fingers crossed.
I think you're going to get in, Willie.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up. This is really fun talking to you. I'm glad we documented this conversation.
Talking to you too. We always have these conversations, by the way, sometimes by the fire. We had a little late night glass of wine.
A whole bottle by myself. That's
You don't have to admit to volume, you know. Mistletoe.
I woke up with a headache and purple tea.
I'm not
going to
tell how much purple teeth in the morning. Yeah, that's strong.
Well, because I'm sharing a room with Sunny, so I came in there with my purple teeth, and I'm like, I'm not going to go brush them.
That's
wake
it.
Her up. Yep. I'm going to wake up with purple teeth, and also I probably just was really ready to go to bed. Yeah, but you always give me good brotherly advice. I never had a brother.
And you give me good sisterly advice. I love your perspective of the world.
You taught me the younger sister version. You never had a younger sister.
Never did. I've got two wonderful older sisters who are awesome. I talked to both of them yesterday, but... you have been a wonderful little sister. It's been fun.
Thanks.
And even when you didn't like me in Spain, I knew you'd come around.
I came around. So I always end with leave your light, and it's really wide open. What do you want people to know? Just very wide open. Just the first thing that comes to mind.
Man, just find the best way to be happy in your own version of that. Find a way to feel safe and happy. And to also, one of the best ways to get there is to provide that feeling for somebody else, whether it's a parent or a sibling or an old neighbor or a child.
A spouse.
Find a way, if you can find a way to give that away, you'll feel it yourself just in doing that. So, man, just be happy. Smile today. This is a fun time. What a crazy time to be alive.
And I know. What are your thoughts about navigating this in the world?
I don't have a care in the world. You know, I think it's, I'm going to be smart. I'm sitting here with you and Michael in the middle of the country, and we're doing our best to, I don't want to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly from the functional standpoint. I don't believe that I would die if I got coronavirus, but... I don't want to be trapped in some hospital that they're not letting me out of or something mm-hmm. like that. So we're trying to stay healthy. But I don't fear this at all. I've lived through H1N1, SARS, bird flu, swine flu, Y2K. I mean, there's always some
9/11
thing coming at you.
It's just wild. It's just a wild time.
Yes. Yes. These times come. Mm-hmm. Pay off your debt. Y'all hear me? Go look up Dave Ramsey. I mean, I love Dave Ramsey.
You love Dave Ramsey.
And yeah, go. If you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, go find him, because when you, if you don't have those pressures, if you can find a way to get your financial house in order, everything else becomes easier. Everything. Mm-hmm. Buying a new Tahoe will not make you happy. Having the money you spent on that Tahoe in your bank can, because it keeps you safe in these times. You don't have to worry. So that's it. There's my light. Stay financially strong, because that's kind of a thing in this world. Money can't buy you happiness, but it sure is fun to cry in a Ferrari. And stay happy. Just stay happy. Yeah. Go make somebody else happy and it will make you happy.
I love that. Yeah. Thanks, bro, for recording your life with me on my podcast. This is so fun.
Didn't even have to use a safe word.
Oh, yes. We made it.
I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.